Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The lines are alive. I'm going right back to the lines. Next up in order is Dick of Madison. Thanks for calling, Dick. What's in your mind today?
Well, Chairman Thompson summed it up last night when he brought up the whole world is watching. And I agree totally with him. But the way I see this whole thing now is that if we don't do something about it, in other words, Merrick Garland, I mean, every time we have to see this, it's like a gut punch to the country. And what do we look like to the world if we are supposedly this, you know, shining country on the hill that Reagan described? Are we really, if we don't do something about it? And one other thing, last night, that embedded reporter, to me, is not a whole heck of a lot better than Bob Woodward. From what I've read and actually saw or last night, this gentleman was privy to some pretty heavy-duty stuff a couple months before it happened. And the very night before it happened was filming him in that garage somewhere in Washington, D.C. Now, I don't know if he did ever. I'll back off, but I'm thinking he should have been sharing some of this a lot sooner than he did.
Yeah, that, you know, those are some good points. The first one is, and I had said in the first hour, I think to some extent, the real impact of that coverage, and by the way, there's another 2 hours on Tuesday with new information. I'm going to watch every one of them, and I encourage you to do it too. But I think the real audience is Merrick Garland and a handful of people on that committee who are not sure whether they should refer Donald Trump for prosecution. When you watch that presentation yesterday, there's no doubt in your mind that Donald Trump should be referred for prosecution, as should the people who organized this thing. The guys that said, oh, well, Trump told us to come and he'd be with us, and they get him for, yeah, sure. And frankly, there's a guy named Van Orden running for Congress in the 3rd District who went to it. He went to it. He used campaign money to go to it. He was pro-insurrection. And there is video, apparently, and that should be a campaign issue as to where he was during the insurrection. He shouldn't be running for Congress. He should not be the Republican, Van Orden. Eric Van Orden shouldn't be running for Congress. That's in our state. However, I don't see how Merrick Garland can look at that and any of the members of that committee and go, I'm still in doubt as to whether or not a felony was committed. And not just by the guys who went through the window, the guys who sent them through the window. When you do a grand jury on organized crime, it isn't just the mules that you go after. You after the capo, the dons, in this case, Don Trump. So that's exactly there. The second thing, you make a very good point, hadn't occurred to me, that British videographer, documentary guy, was, quote, embedded, end quote, with the Proud Boys, and he was in the garage filming the head of the Proud Boys meeting with the head of the the Oath Keepers. And, you know, you make the point, at what point, if you are, quote, embedded, end quote, with people who are about to commit a felony, do you have an obligation to tell the cops? And you know something? I think you're right. And that thing in the garage was absolutely eerily reminiscent of Watergate. These were criminals, but they were directed by bigger criminals named Donald Trump and a handful of his fellow travelers and running dogs. Thank you for calling. Next up in order, Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling, Gene. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Matt. Boy, what a great presentation. You know, that one guy, by the way, he was there. He made sure he said he was there by subpoena. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe he's...
Yeah, like maybe it wasn't totally voluntary. Right?
Yeah. He didn't look like he was too excited about giving any information or happy to be there. I thought it was... I really believe that they need to start lining up. You know, you don't use paddy wagons, but you need great big buses and load up all these people who have been trying to fight the investigation. Every one of them should be arrested. Every one of them have, you know, been involved in the cover-up. And those that continue to lie about this, and Fox News should not even be allowed to have a station That should go to somebody who has honesty and integrity and not a criminal, because of what they've done to our country, the lies, and they've continued this, and they all need to be put in the slammer, and they all need to spend some time there, because that's our votes that they were trying to mess with, and that's a crime against all of us that voted in that election, and they continue to, because our president should be able to do his job without all of the distractions and the hates and the lies, and work for our country instead of having to be fighting all these battles and all of these fires that they start. So anyway, thank you very much, and great job, and great callers.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jean.
Matt.
You know, you triggered a thought in my mind before I get to the next caller, and so did Dick of Madison. That documentary guy from Britain, I didn't like him. You know, he said I was subpoenaed, which is usually what you say when you say I'm not here voluntarily. And then he's meeting in a garage with two people plotting a felony. He doesn't tell the cops. He could have told them the night before. But the telling thing to me that ticked me off was, I don't know if you remember, where he goes, yeah, and I knew something. And right out of the blue, he wasn't answering any questions. He said, I knew something was up. He said, there were people all over Washington. I couldn't get in one of the good hotels. I had to go to a hotel we really didn't want to go to. And then he smirked, like, what? They don't have lobster on room service? You know, this guy, I did not like. I got to tell you, I didn't like the guy. But video is talks, and everything else walks. You know, it walks. And the video he shot, they subpoenaed, and he finally gave it to him. So that's the best you can say about him, and it ain't much. It ain't much. Next in line, in order, Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bill. What's in your mind today, my friend?
Hey, last night after the hearings, I listened to them a little bit, not completely, but I wanted to hear the aftermath. I wasn't really, you know, I knew what was going to happen. I wasn't shocked by anything, and it was very convincing. And so this morning on MSNBC, Joe Scarborough said, and I quote, he was talking to one guy, he said, when it comes to voting this year, we have to choose children or guns, because all those nut jobs are pro-gun. You know that. And the majority is wants gun control. In our country, that's not a hidden rule. I'm pretty stiff on it. I want to ban, if it was up to me, ban assault rifles and concealed carry. You need extensive schooling, license, and insurance. It was up to me. Now, I won't get all that. But if I can get some, I can maybe save a life of a child. So we have to keep, I know I'm redundant lately, but I have to be. And when I see it validated by the people on MSNBC that the choice is children or guns, let's stick with that motto and stay on point. Because if we lose focus, that's what they want us to do with the diversions. All their diversions, oh, it was Nancy Pelosi's fault, oh, look at the border, oh, look at inflation. No, it's not inflation, it's not the border, it's children's lives. Thanks, Matt. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, Bill, you know, that's a great point, as always. And again, I'm going to say, as always, Bill of Oconomowoc is a gun owner, and he's a hunter. And what he's saying, I agree 100%. If you want concealed carry, you should have training, you should have insurance, and you should have extensive instruction on safety and what to use. You don't point a weapon at anyone unless you intend to shoot it at them. You don't just brandish it around. You look what we have in Milwaukee right now, people shooting at cars, shooting at each other. They've watched a few Westerns and two drivers, one cuts the other one off, road rage, and then they shoot and they miss and they hit somebody on the sidewalk. We got to stop that kind of stuff. Now, what he says too, about AR-15s, I can't emphasize this enough. There is plenty of political support in this country for gun control, as he puts it, does not mean the elimination of guns. The Second Amendment is a liberal amendment, and that surprises you when I say that. Because up until the Revolution, kings in Europe didn't want peasants to have arms. In the old days, they were swords. Peasant couldn't own a sword. The king was afraid that they would get together and go after the aristocracy and the king. What George Washington said, and what Thomas Jefferson said, and Madison, and Hamilton, the rest of them, was, we have a right to bear arms. In other words, no king is going to tell us we can't. But they didn't say we have a right to have cannons, or they didn't even have cannons in those days. But as technology went on, nobody is saying we have a right to nuclear weapons. Nobody is saying we have a right to chemical weapons. Nobody is saying we have a right to biological weapons. Nobody is saying we have a right to bazookas, to stingers, to javelins. Nobody is saying we have a right to shoulder-held missile launchers. Nobody is saying we have a right to weapons of war of the military. What people are saying is we have a right to bear arms, and those arms are rifles and pistols. And we do. And I would be the first to oppose anybody saying we don't. But in some of these states, like Texas, they have constitutional carry where you don't even need instruction or license to conceal carry. And you can be an 18-year-old kid who's depressed, a guy, turns 18, girlfriend jilted him or turned him down for the prom. His girlfriend is now dating another guy, got fired from his job. He has no prospects of anything. He's despondent. He decides to die by suicide by cop. He goes out the day after his 18th birthday, buys an AR-15, and he goes into a vulnerable target. He doesn't go into an NRA meeting because they exclude guns, believe it or not. You go through a metal detector, and they have guys with guns guarding it. He's afraid to do that. He's not afraid, though, in Sandy Hook, to go into a classroom of first graders, or in Uvalde, a classroom of fourth graders, because he's chicken, that's why, as well as depressed and mentally ill. And I think part of it is he's also afraid to go in the military. My service in the military was one of the highlights of my life. I enjoyed all this stuff, and I enjoyed firing a weapon. But you get it out of your system, and then when you're a little older, and my theory is that veterans are the least likely to insist on having AR-15s because they have fired more potent weapons. They've gotten it out of their system. We've got to get back to that. But now nobody goes in the military. Very few people, unfortunately. Everybody should go in the military. You listen to me? Everybody. All right, I've gotten that out of my system. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll get back to the lines right after the break. Anything you want, they got it right here in the-